What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a Critical Care Pharmacy podcast. This is episode 202. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about using IV acetaminophen in critically ill adults, answer the drug information question, why is my post-op patient who's on rifampin at home still in pain after being given fentanyl, and share a resource for the treatment of intracranial hypertension after traumatic brain injury. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode202. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The article for this episode is titled Effects of IV Acetaminophen on Core Body Temperature and Hemodynamic Responses in Febrile Critically Ill Adults. The lead author is Hilde Schell Chappell, and this was published in Critical Care Medicine July 2017. To date, IV acetaminophen has only been proven to impact outcomes in a clinically meaningful way in patients undergoing a hysterectomy in Turkish hospitals. The authors of this trial sought to determine the effects of IV acetaminophen on core body temperature, blood pressure, and heart rate in febrile critically ill patients with a temperature greater than 38.2 degrees Celsius. The study was a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial enrolling 40 adult patients with fever in three ICUs within a single academic center. Patients received an infusion of acetaminophen 1 gram or normal saline placebo via IV minibottle over 15 minutes. Patient temperature and vital signs were measured every 5 to 15 minutes over a 4-hour period after the study drug was infused. The primary outcome looked at effects on temperature, while the secondary outcomes looked at effects on blood pressure, heart rate, and respiratory rate. At the end of 4 hours, the only outcome that was statistically different than placebo was the difference in temperature. Not surprisingly, the group that received IV acetaminophen had a lower temperature by about half a degree Celsius. There were statistically significant differences in heart rate and systolic blood pressure at time points prior to the end of the 4-hour study period. This was represented in the time-weighted average mean values for each group. The acetaminophen group had a reduction in systolic blood pressure of 17 millimeters mercury and a reduction in heart rate of 6 beats per minute compared to placebo. The authors concluded, among febrile critically ill adults, treatment with acetaminophen decreased temperature, blood pressure, and heart rate. IV acetaminophen thus produces modest fever reduction in critical care patients, along with clinically important reductions in blood pressure. I see two limitations in the design of this study that prevents its generalizability. First, while the study period lasted 4 hours, the normal dosing interval for IV acetaminophen is 6 hours. Because all of the effects on hemodynamics were over by 4 hours, the addition of 2 more hours to the study time would have likely significantly changed the time-weighted average mean values for effects on systolic blood pressure and heart rate. Second, the comparison of IV acetaminophen to saline placebo is not a fair comparison when looking at effects on systolic blood pressure. Each gram of IV acetaminophen contains about 4 grams of mannitol. Mannitol has diuretic effects which can lead, at least partially, can account for the reduction in systolic blood pressure between groups. To fairly evaluate effects of IV acetaminophen on blood pressure, patients in the placebo group must receive as much mannitol as patients in the acetaminophen group do. Before considering using IV acetaminophen in critically ill patients, keep in mind that all the patients at the beginning of this study had stable hemodynamic parameters. I would like to see additional studies before using IV acetaminophen to affect hemodynamic parameters in critically ill patients with fever. The drug information question for this episode is, why is my post-op patient who's on rifampin at home still in pain after being given fentanyl? The answer is because rifampin is inducing the metabolism of fentanyl. I recently encountered a patient with poor post-op pain control despite seemingly adequate doses of IV fentanyl. When I checked the patient's home medication list to see if they were on opioids at home, I noticed the patient was taking rifampin. Rifampin induces the metabolism of fentanyl, oxycodone, and morphine via induction of the CYP450 enzymes, including 3A4 and 2D6. I switched the patient to hydromorphone, which is hepatically metabolized by glucuronidation and not the CYP450 system. This seemed to work much better for the patient's pain. The resource for this episode is the staircase approach for the treatment of intracranial hypertension after traumatic brain injury. You can find a picture of this approach in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode202. This approach involves a stepwise application of sedation, osmotic therapy, hyperventilation, hypothermia, and surgical decompression with or without barbiturates. Congratulations to the winners of my book giveaway. I'll be contacting the winners shortly over Facebook for shipping information. You can see a list of the winners in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.